Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Chris Stone, who's the founder of Faith Driven Consumer. Their website is faithdrivenconsumer.com, and he's going to talk about a largely untapped market. Well, I say that, and yet here we are about 12 or so years after Mel Gibson, in a sense, crashed the gates with his classic movie, The Passion of the Christ, and proved that there were millions and millions of Americans who were, in the example of movies, starving for faith-based entertainment. And in the wake of Mel Gibson's movie, just look at what has happened, and there's been so many movies, it's an amazing thing. So, Chris, thank you so much for joining us, and tell us all about your organization, which is Faith Driven Consumer. Very interesting.
Well, thank you for having us on the program, and to tell you a little bit about Faith Driven Consumers, 70% of Americans currently self-identify as Christian. And about 60% of Americans practice their faith in some way, even a nominal way. Hmm. But there's a core group, 17% of American adults, 41 million people, whose faith is the primary driver in their daily decisions and choices, what they buy, where they shop, where they work. And those faith-driven consumers are who we represent. We provide a community, we provide a gathering place and a voice for them in the marketplace, in the workplace.
Now, you say 17%, and you say that's 41 million. So 17% of 300 million is only 40 million or so?
It's 17% of U.S. adults.
Oh, okay, U.S. adults, okay.
Yeah, and that is 41 million, so you can look at it two ways, either of the total, which is 17, or it's 25% of practicing Christians, mm-hmm. the same number. And so that gives us an understanding that of all the practicing Christians, one out of four, their faith is significant enough in their daily life to be the primary driver in what they do and where they shop and where they work.
That is a lot of people when you think about it. It's interesting. When you contrast the percentage of self-professed homosexuals and so forth, I mean, it's apparently a number less than 3%. So 17% versus 3%, and yet they seem to have a lot more influence. Maybe they take their faith more seriously, or faith or whatever, their lifestyle.
Well, I will say this. We have found that from a level of activism and advocacy and the time that they put forth into bringing forth their agenda, they are very, very effective. And it's a lesson that we have learned at Faith Driven Consumer, that we have to be active in the market and be a voice. If you don't ask for inclusion, you will likely not get it.
Hmm. Okay, when the movie recently came out of Ben-Hur, it was interesting. I saw a little report on the Monday morning after the initial opening, and they were saying, oh, this movie is failing. It was $11 million at the box office. And I thought, $11 million? That sounds like a lot of money to me. I don't know. The Sausage Movie or something had earned $15 million at the same weekend. But still, that doesn't sound like an abject failure.
Well, it was fifth overall the first weekend. Given the money that was spent in production and given the money that was spent in marketing, at that pace, it will be very difficult to do well. The movie itself is not perfect. No movie is. But it pays off for both a faith and a secular audience.
Mm-hmm.
What appears to have been the case is that the marketing itself did not resonate with faith-driven viewers. And it's really unfortunate because the consumer has been asking for a movie. The studio delivered a movie. They delivered a movie that, while it targets everyone, it was very special attention paid to Christian consumers. If overall, at the end, when it's all said and done, it is not deemed a success, that will be very important. Unfortunate, because then the studio will be more reluctant to do it again, and the consumer will be more reluctant to have faith in the studio to deliver again. So it's counterproductive for everybody, and And we hope that in the end, it does turn out to be a success, because the market and the studio and the producers all need a win.
Isn't it true that if you want to support a movie, make as much haste as you can to go that opening weekend, because that is so critical as a criterion for evaluating the success or failure of a movie?
Absolutely. When they bring a movie to market, they decide on the number of theaters it's going to be in. And after that first weekend, they either add theaters if it did really well, or they take the theaters away from the mix if it did not. And that first weekend is critical, and the life expectancy of a movie in the theater is very strongly driven by that first weekend.
You know, I went to the trouble, and in fact took my wife and my son to see Ben-Hur in its opening weekend, and I thought it was better than, you know, a couple of the reviews I saw where, you know, one person was saying it was weak on faith, and I thought, how do you get that? I mean, they have Jesus in it. And you know, in a positive way, and you know, there's redemption involved. So I didn't have that same kind of message, but I know, you know, different people, I guess, evaluate the same thing in different ways.
Well, as Faith-Driven Consumer, we do reviews of movies that we believe are either compatible or directly targeted at the community. And we look at it through the eyes of a faith-driven consumer. You know, as an individual who's not a film critic, who's not an expert at movies, you know, will I like it? Does it resonate with me? And I talk with people that we know in the industry, and they pick apart a movie and they really look at it. How is it cast? How is it shot? You know, that's beyond the awareness of most people. It's just, did I like it or not? Did it entertain me? Did it speak to me? And Ben-Hur did that. In a very orthodox theological view, you might look at the characterization of Jesus and go, well, that was kind of two-dimensional. It really only dealt with love. It didn't talk about he's the only way to get to God. It didn't talk about him and his role as judge. There were other aspects of it.
Or the resurrection. It just wasn't mentioned.
Well, you're right. The resurrection wasn't there. But the movie had to stop somewhere.
Yeah.
And they stopped at... really, what I, as a viewer, saw, the redemption of Ben-Hur and his engagement in a faith that he did not have before. And I don't want to give it away for people who haven't seen it, but you know, we all have sin in our heart, and we have hatred and anger, and Jesus is the way to bring that out of us, to heal us of that. We saw it in the movie, and for me, at a basic level, that is a wonderful message to share, especially for all of those who don't know Jesus, as perhaps I do or you do or one of the listeners does, to get a glimpse of there is something there that I need to be aware of. And in that way, I think it was a very effective portrayal.
Sure. All right. Well, Chris, in your work with Faith Driven Consumer, since we're focusing on movies here, it's interesting to see some of these independent films coming out, for example, under the auspices or the aegis of Pure Flicks. And, you know, for example, there's God's Not Dead, the first one, God's Not Dead 2, Do You Believe? And then from the Kendricks brothers, War Room and Courageous and Fireproof and so forth. Some of these movies have done exceptionally well, probably surprising a lot of Hollywood executives that had nothing to do with these films, either the making or the release, but they see these numbers and they must think, what? What's going on here?
Well, you mentioned several of those. War Room, the Kendrick brothers. The Kendricks have created a brand for themselves. People understand who they are and what they delivered, and with War Room, they did an excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
The studio, you know, Sony has a division called Affirm, which focuses specifically on content for the Christian market, and they came together with the Kendricks and produced and marketed a great movie. It did very well. Of course, it was very, very faith-centric. It also portrayed the family, an African-American family, so it had special resonance with both an African-American community and the faith-driven consumer community, where there's a lot of overlap. Mm-hmm. You get other movies that have been very faith-centric. If a movie is accurate, either theologically, spiritually, or historically, our research shows that they do much, much better. And there have been many of those successes. There have been a few misses, and those misses are where someone involved in the movie tried to make it their story instead of the community story, and the community meaning a story based in either biblical context or in the faith that that we have in Jesus.
Do you mind if I ask you, what do you have in mind? I mean, give one example of what you're saying in where the movie misses it, even though it could have been potentially a big hit in the faith-based community.
Well, we did significant research around both the movie Noah and the movie Exodus, which are two classic mega-budget films. They were both produced by people who had their own view of the story, and that view of the story was not traditional or orthodox in any way. And the story shifted. And we had done research prior to, as an example, and like 75% of Americans, regardless of their faith background, wanted to see that movie if it was compatible with the story that they knew.
Yeah,
and the story that was portrayed on the screen was different. Noah was as well.
Yeah.
And it proves that people come with an expectation. So if I was making Harry Potter or if I was making Lord of the Rings, two stories that have significant following before the movie was created, and if I had created that movie significantly different from the story, then there is a separation in that audience in the movie, and it doesn't do well. So that is precisely why we need to be accurate and true to the audience, because it's true to the story.
So those movies are anti-biblical, but it isn't just because they're anti-biblical. It's because there's so many people who are familiar, at least with the bare outline of the biblical story. I remember when the Exodus movie came out, Glenn Beck said, "Avoid it like the plague."
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good line. Okay, what else should we know about faith-driven consumer? And I understand you are a certified brand strategist, which is not something that, you know, you're kind of in a small group of that sort. I guess there's only 31 certified brand strategists. But anyway, what else do we need to know?
Well, the thing to understand about what we do is we are here to advocate for the community, to build a bridge where a gap exists between the faith-driven community and America's marketplace brands and in the workplace. So what people should do if they care about the experience they have in the marketplace, if they're feeling left out or not included, then our website gives you a great opportunity to see which companies are more compatible, which companies are more engaged with Christian consumers. We live in a world of diversity and inclusion. We live in a world of market segmentation. American companies, both in the marketplace and the workplace, are spending a lot of time targeting specific groups. And as they do so, faith-driven consumers are being left out. And the way we talked about the LGBT community, the gay community earlier, they're advocating strongly. And our website provides a channel, provides an opportunity for people to send a note to the brand and say, "Hey, you're doing a good job. Thank you." Or, "Hey, I'd really like to do more business with you." And encourage them to engage us more. You know, people go where they feel welcomed and where they feel comfortable. And we're trying to create more of those opportunities for faith-driven consumers, but we need the help of the consumers themselves to speak out and be heard.
Excellent. Chris Stone, thank you so much for being with us. Faith-drivenconsumer.com. God bless and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now.